Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
School libraries have become ground zero in a fight over how to talk about race, gender, and sexuality, and it's reaching a frenzy that hasn't been seen in decades. The American Library Association says last year, conservative religious groups and parents challenged nearly 1,600 books in an effort to get them out of school libraries, a number that has already been surpassed this year. It is Banned Books Week, so we're going to take a look now at some of the books that were most commonly challenged in 2021. Our go-to book expert, Tracy Thomas, joins us now. She's host of the podcast, The Stacks. Tracy, welcome back.
So excited to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about banned books. This is a topic you've covered on your podcast. Why do you think the movement to pull books from shelves is catching on like fire?
I think, given all that's going on in the political world right now, the division that we're seeing between people around gender, sexuality, history, I think all of that can come to a head in the book banning conversation. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think the reason why is that it's just all these hot button issues. We're able to just dump that on all of our children and their education.
Well, our goal today is to go through some of the books most likely to be banned. And one that is topping just about every list is called Gender Queer. It's by Maya Kobabe. Tell us about this book and why it has become such a lightning rod.
So I think what we're seeing over and over with the book bans is this really outsized attack on transgender and non-binary books, authors, and essentially the children who read those books. This book deals with discovering that a person is non-binary or genderqueer. And I think that because this book is one that says it proudly in the title, I think it's very clear what this book is about. When you look at the cover, it's a person kind of looking down at themselves in the reflection and seeing something different, looking back up. I think that it's an easy target. It's a book that's saying very loudly, I am genderqueer. And it's a book that's saying that's what you're going to find in these pages. So without ever having to open the book, you can make a decision about how you feel about the book based on your own political leanings.
I see. But if you do open the book, there are, in fact, graphic descriptions of sex in this book. And it's a graphic novel, so we should say illustrations as well. Even the author has said that it shouldn't be in elementary schools. So how do we navigate the nuance that so many of these books require of us when we're talking about who they are appropriate for and who they are not appropriate for?
I think that that's what our educators and our librarians are for. They are skilled, educated, highly specialized adults who can read and figure out what is appropriate for grade level, just like we do with all other books. We know that you're not going to suggest a kindergartner read Beloved by Toni Morrison. Our educators, that's their job, is to know what's appropriate for grade levels and also for each individual child. I think we all probably know a kid who reads above grade level, and we all probably know a kid who reads below. Some kids are prepared to talk about gender and sexuality at a younger age. Some kids are not. Some adults are not. And so I think that this idea that we can say this book should be out of all schools because it's not appropriate for one child is completely unfair. And that is silencing not only the author, but also the children's ability to see and understand themselves better.
And here's the rub. There are many people out there and a growing number of people who would say it is the parents' job to do that, not the educators. So that's the controversy. Now, another book on the 2021 list of banned books is George M. Johnson's All Boys Aren't Blue. He calls this a memoir manifesto. Why is that?
It's a memoir. So it is about coming out, coming to terms not only with his gender, but also with his sexuality, his place in the world as a Black person. And one of the things we're seeing with these book bans is they're targeting, as I mentioned before, LGBTQ authors and subject matters, and also Black, Brown, people of color. And so this book hits that sweet spot in between the two things that are driving the book banning people crazy: race and gender and sexuality.
And what do you think of this book?
I mean, I think it's a pretty incredible book. I'm a huge fan of it. I think I mean, just from looking at it, that cover is so striking. It's blue and pink. I also think that George M. Johnson is a fantastic writer. I think that the sentences in the book are beautiful and worthy of people's attention and understanding. I also think that this idea that our young people can't and shouldn't know about these things, or that they can't or shouldn't be able to access them in school, is very unfair, because that is a place for learning. That is a place for pushing boundaries and understanding. And I think this book does a really beautiful job of that.
Another book that addresses race is called The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. We've talked about it on this program here. Centers around the shooting of an unarmed black teenage boy by police, which of course is a topic that has been very much in the news over the past several years. But why does a fiction book about that get challenged as often as it does? This is not quote unquote real life.
Yeah, so what's interesting, PEN America just released a study on banning in the last year, and I can't remember the exact percentage, but it was about 60% of the books that are banned and challenged are fiction. I think that especially for younger people, fiction is often written in a way that they can approach and understand stories that aren't necessarily their lives. They're familiar with fiction. They probably watch it on television, as many of us do. And I think that these stories allow them to create and imagine. And so obviously, they must have an impact on young people if those are the books that are being targeted over and over. I think also The Hate U Give, like we mentioned, it deals with race, and it also deals with violence and racialized violence. And we've seen a lot of these book bannings are becoming more and more prominent in response to what we saw in the summer of 2020. It has to do with this idea of diversity and inclusion and whose stories are getting told. In that same study from PEN America, they talked about the number one category of books that were being banned were books with a main character that was LGBTQ. And then the next, which I believe was about 40% of the books, were Black and Brown people of color as the main character and or major secondary character.
We've been talking about contemporary authors, but if we go back in history a little bit, there are classics on this list as well. Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird and Art Spiegelman's Mouse is a graphic novel memoir about a Polish Jewish family in the Holocaust. Why do you think these books are being challenged right now?
I find these challenges to be the most interesting of all, because they're such beloved books that when I was coming up in the 90s and the 2000s were books we had to read in school. They were books that were foisted on us, sometimes unwillingly. I have to admit, I'm not a huge To Kill a Mockingbird fan, blame my English teacher. But I think what's really interesting about these books is that they do challenge our understanding of humanity. They challenge what it means to be good. They challenge, I think, a lot of the things that we're taught in school, especially when we look at Mao's and its depiction of the Holocaust. For people who aren't familiar, that book is a graphic novel about the Holocaust, specifically the author's father's experience in the lead up and throughout Nazism. And so it's hard to fight that book to me. And I think that's what's uncomfortable about it. I think that's what makes people nervous and uncomfortable when they read it, is that this happened. This is a true story about the world that we live in. And I think being uncomfortable to me isn't a reason that we shouldn't be reading something. To me, it's a reason we should be leaning into it.
When we first started this conversation, we talked about politics driving a lot of these efforts. Now, there is so much discord in the country right now. It doesn't seem to be getting any better. So where do you see this trend, this effort to ban books from shelves in public libraries and at schools, where do you see it going?
Oh, gosh, what if I knew that answer? I wish that I did. Here's what I can say. The efforts to ban books that we've seen in the last 10 or so years are different than previous efforts to ban books. Starting in around 2013 and 14, we started to see groups that were challenging. Oftentimes, the people who were doing challenges for books were people who didn't even have a child in the public school system. And so what that says to me is that this is political movement and not necessarily simply concerned parents. It's not like they grabbed a book out of their kid's backpack and said, oh, this is interesting. It's the same books over and over. And so to me, my fear is that looking forward, we're going to see more of this, because it is a groundswell and it is also being dictated down to people. These are the books we're attacking. These are the school districts. There's laws that are coming along with them. Of course, people are familiar with the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, the state with the second most challenged books in the country. And so I think that these things are connected, unfortunately.
Do you think it will keep writers from writing what is in their heart?
No, that I don't think. I am lucky enough to talk to writers constantly on my podcast. And even in our series that we did on banned books, I spoke to a few writers who have had banned books, and they all said, you know, what's the most troubling thing is that they write their books because these are the books they wanted to see in the world, the books that didn't exist when they were growing up. And for people to use these books that they're writing to certain groups of kids, to younger versions of themselves, to harm those kids and tell those kids that their stories aren't worthy and don't deserve to be in schools is very troubling for them. But not a single one has ever said, and I don't want to write anymore. I think for many of them, they're even more committed to the work.
We've been talking about some of the most banned books of the past year with Tracy Thomas, host and creator of the podcast The Stacks. We'll have a list of the books we talked about and a few more at hereandnow.org. Tracy, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll also continue our coverage tomorrow. We'll talk with a mom who's trying to take some of these books out of schools.